This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's a good time of year. The weather's nice. The virus hadn't killed us, so that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. You know, it's like when you start getting that crisp in the air, it's like, ooh, the seasons are changing, and that, you know, that means holidays and holiday food, and it's already on the horizon. The Halloween candy is already a-flowing, and then you got the Thanksgiving food, and then you got the leftovers, and then you got the Christmas cookies and the fruitcake. Oh,
yeah, you're always thinking about food.
I am. That's kind of my thing, I think.
It is. Food is your thing. You're always thinking about all the wonderful things that you could eat.
Yes. The wonderful things that are bad for you.
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
It's like that's the one time a year you have an excuse to kind of go crazy.
I know, but you kind of do it all year. I mean, you've got Easter, and you're big into Easter, and all the Easter chocolates and all that. You just kind of go from one season to the other to figure out what dessert you can have. I mean, you're on it at all times.
I really am. Ham is not the same, you know, in the middle of August as it is at Easter. For some reason, it tastes different. And turkey is the same way. You could never do a Thanksgiving feast in July, or people look at you like you got three heads.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's right. But look how often, once we get into fall and we get to Thanksgiving, look how many times you can have turkey between then and the first of the year.
Yes, yes. And we also found out we got some seasoning the other day for chicken, and we were making some chicken, just not like breaded and fried, but just in the pan. And we realized that if you get certain poultry seasonings and you put it on chicken, it tastes a little bit like turkey and dressing. So you can, theory, have Thanksgiving all the time without looking like a big weirdo.
I see. And so you swear now by this new seasoning.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, my God, this tastes like Thanksgiving.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was great. It was great, and it wasn't even turkey. We didn't have to, you know, sit up all day and all night and for 3 days getting dressing ready and, you know, basting a turkey and defrosting a turkey, and we just put a little poultry seasoning on the chicken, and it's like, well, there's Thanksgiving right there. It was brilliant.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
So did you have to have pumpkin pie then?
No, but if we had known, we would have gone and got one.
You would have got one, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
They probably don't even make it this early.
Oh, geez, it's all over. The pumpkin pie?
Really?
Yes.
Those are already ready.
Yes, they're already ready. They got the pumpkin pies out, they got the apple pies out, and they got the buttermilk pies out.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I'm surprised you didn't buy one of everything.
Well, I should have.
If you'd have thought of it, you would have.
Yes, yes. But then I saw the apple fritters, and nothing screams fall treats like apple fritters.
Apple fritters. You know, we have a bakery that does apple fritters every day.
Really?
Oh, my gosh, yes. They have apple fritters every morning, that and croissants. Oh. They do ham and cheese croissants.
Oh.
And I swear by their ham and cheese croissants.
They're delicious.
And they've cut down on them. I don't know what's wrong with people. They're not making as many ham and cheese as they were. And they always sell out. By 11 o'clock, the ham and cheese are gone.
Oh.
Yeah. But they do the apple fritters. They do the donuts. They did the pigs in a blanket. Mm. And they have either the jalapeno ones or the straight ones.
Ooh, boy, the jalapeno ones. Oh, those sound delicious.
Yes. And so every morning a person could go over there and have all those wonderful treats.
Do you go over there every morning?
No, I don't. Only on Saturdays. I'm a once-a-week person.
And so they see you coming, and so they make extra ham and cheese croissants, yes?
That's right. They know that I'm going to take some to the beauty shop.
Good. Oh, wow. So you get some to take to the shop with you.
I do. I always say, give me six, and I'll take a few in.
Well, geez, that's nice. Wow.
But I don't like it when they don't have enough, I can tell you.
Yeah. I wonder if there's like a ham and cheese shortage someplace.
There could be. I don't know. But the croissants, they're light. They're, they're so good. Mm-hmm. And to think that they run out, it tells them they need to make more.
Yeah, you would think that they would say, hey, this is a big item. We should stock up, but maybe not.
The lady doesn't. She's been there like 20 years.
Really?
Making these. And she gets up at like 4 in the morning, comes down, and starts making all this.
Lord, that's early.
And then she's done. By noon, she's closed.
and she goes off to play the rest of the day.
No, I'll bet she goes back to sleep. That's what I'd be doing. If I got up at 4 in the morning, I'd have to sleep all afternoon to make up for it, I can tell you.
You'd have to have a big, long nap at that point.
I would have to have it. A big nap.
Jeez. What else do they have? Do they have cronuts?
Oh, yeah. They have every kind of donut. They have pink donuts, chocolate donuts. Mm. They have the sprinkles on top. They have fancy donuts. That's one of her specialties.
Oh, I love fancy donuts.
Oh, yeah. She makes some fancy ones. And I know my grandchildren, if they go with me, they'll take one of every kind. Say, I want one of those, one of those, one of those. Oh, my gosh.
So do you take them with you now, or do you leave them home?
Sometimes they get to go, but not often.
Yeah.
And when they do, I mean, there's not anything that they would leave out, I can tell you.
You know, there's nothing like a bakery. First thing in the morning when they've got all those, you know, you can smell the dough and you can smell all of it. It's so fresh and, oh, my goodness, it's delicious.
And, you know, I don't know, most people could not have donuts every day because they're too sweet and you would weigh, 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
But I think once a week a person, could splurge and have some of that.
Mm-hmm. We haven't had donuts in a long time. It sounds delicious now.
Well, and they've got all the different things. They're not only donuts, they don't have fried pies, but they have a lot of different things for breakfast. I can't even think what this one's called. It's a long bar looking deal and has this icing on it.
Well, I don't know, but that sounds delicious. Anything with icing is a tasty treat.
Yeah, I mean, it has icing on it, and it's kind of a long bar, and they sell a lot of those. And, of course, the fritters, I know they sell a lot of those.
Mm.
Those apple fritters, they smell so good.
Yes, a nice fall-time treat, especially when they're fresh. Now, if you get some that are stale, then that's no good. But I would imagine probably those in that kind of a situation are nice and soft and fresh every day.
They are fresh because whatever they don't sell, they throw out. And maybe that's why they're so careful about the amount they make of everything.
Oh, yeah, so they have less waste.
Yeah, I don't think they have any waste at this place because if I'm late getting there, it's really stripped down. Everything's about 3/4 gone time I get there sometimes.
So you got to get up early and get there before they sell out.
That's right. And if a person is really serious, they would get up there and go up there like at 9 a.m., and get your stuff and come back home.
Yeah.
That's what a person ought to do.
Or I wonder if they have a line that starts when they open.
I've never been there at 6 a.m., so I could not tell you.
And I have a feeling you're never going to be.
No, I'm not ever going to make that. That's way too early for me. I am not a 6 a.m. type person.
Mm, yeah, it takes a very special person to be at a place by 6 a.m., that's for sure.
Well, yeah, the sun's not even up.
Yeah, it feels like the middle of the night.
That's right. And no one should get up till the sun comes up.
That's true. And now that we got the temperature or the time change coming a few weeks away, then all of a sudden, then we're looking at, you know, even less daylight. It doesn't get light till like 9 in the morning, and then the sun goes down at like noon.
The sun goes down at noon. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm living in my own world.
You are living in your own world there.
Oh, boy. This is your
wishful
money.
Thinking.
I know, right? It's like, yeah. I would have like 3 hours to actually do something productive. Other than that, I think it was like nighttime and I should be sleeping. I'd never get anything done.
No, you wouldn't, but you would sure be happy.
I would, and nicely rested, that's for sure.
That's right.
This is your money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
Let's talk about money. How are we doing?
Let's talk about money.
As we get closer to the election, I know that this is a time where people really get on edge, and I'm starting to hear reports that a lot of people are starting to kind of draw back with their spending, with their outlook on things, and because things can be so uncertain, and not just this year, any election year, and it doesn't matter, you know, who's running, what the situation is, you know, it always seems to be one of those times of uncertainty. Do you hear a lot of people being uncertain? Do you see shakeups happening in different areas?
Well, there was two billionaires that took $5 billion out of the market this week.
Really?
$5 billion they took out. They sold $5 billion worth of their stock this week. Now I don't know what they're thinking, but I'm thinking that they're thinking they don't know what is fixing to happen, and that they want to be safe, and they went to cash. I mean, when you sell $5 billion worth of stock, you know something that the rest of us don't know.
Yeah, and I would imagine that probably sends a pretty clear signal of, hey, you should be nervous if, in fact, they do know something that we don't know. I wonder if that means that people, you know, are reacting in a nervous way and something's going to shift big.
I think a lot of people are nervous. You know, you just never know. You know, in October especially, you know, they always say we're going to have an October surprise. Mm-hmm. And the markets are back down, you know. They were climbing and then they went back down. So you never know. You know, I think that everybody has their own risk tolerance as to how much risk they can stand and when they have to stand down or whether they throw caution to the wind. It depends what kind of an investor you are.
Do people sometimes, and I don't know if you even have these conversations with anybody or hear anything, but do you find that sometimes people may stick with something like the stock market even when things are uncertain because they don't realize that they have other options? Or is that even a thing?
I think sometimes people are worried about it and they don't know who to turn to or they don't know what to do for sure. You know, and some of them will get out and then some of them, like one guy told me, he said, I stayed too long before, you know, when we had the other market crash. He stayed too long and he lost a lot. And he said, I've done this over 30 years. And he said, I've seen it 3 times. And he said, I can't take it anymore. He said, I'm older now, and now it would take too long to make the money back. So I think that's where people are. If the market does go back down again, how long will it take me to recoup? And am I at an age when I can recoup it? Yeah. Or do I not want to do it a third time?
Yeah, so people are taking experiences they've been through. You're referring like one of them being 08, right?
I am.
So they're taking those experiences and kind of looking towards the future and saying, you know, here we are, you know, 12 years later, and we're seeing some of the same signs again. And maybe people are, you know, taking proactive measures this time based on what they've been through before, and they're seeking alternative investments. Would that be accurate, you think?
I think it would be. I think a lot of people this time are going to do something different, and they're not going to wait to see what's going to happen in the market.
So when people come to talk to you for the first time, and I'm sure you get new investors all the time, but when people come and talk to you, what's one of the things that they say? What do they say? You know, hey, I've decided to seek other investment opportunities because of something.
Well, because the uncertainty, they want something that they know exactly what they're going to make. They're going to know exactly what the risk is. And that the principal is always safe. And that's why one of the things I think they come to us is their principal is always safe. They know that principal is going to be returned to them. It doesn't matter what happens. And they know what interest rate they're going to get. In the stock market, you don't know, you know, what your interest rate is going to be. You don't know if you're going to make a lot of money, a little bit of money, or, you know, if it's going to be flat. You don't know. It's always at risk. And with us, you know what you're going to make. You know how much interest. You know that your principal is always safe. So I think it's got a lot of advantages over the stock market as far as I'm concerned. You know, we have an awful lot of clients. You know, we have over 700. And most of them have been with us a long time. So we know we're doing something right. I think most of the time, you know, we're right on it. And sometimes we're not. But at least they're not going to lose anything. You know, they're going to get paid. They're going to get their interest. And it doesn't matter you know, all the politics, all the things going on in the world will not affect their investment. And I think that's really important.
Is that one of the
involved
the big things that people say? At least I'm not going to lose anything because, you know, in Wall Street, if something happens like another 2008, then, you know, people lose and it takes, you know, years and years and years to recover. Do people say, you know, I'm just not that, you know, hey, I'm looking for, you know, a really great, big, huge investment that'll, you know, give me huge returns, you know, fairly quickly? Or is it more like, you know, well, at least, you know, at least I won't lose. I'll at least, you know, do okay.
They know that they will do okay because it's a different type of investment. When you're investing in a life insurance policy, that's completely different than the stock market. You know, you're relying on the stock market on other people to manage those accounts. You don't manage them at yourself. You know, they make your choices for you. They pick your stocks. They pick the mutual funds or whatever it is. And with this, you get to pick the policies that you want to go in, and how much you're going to make is up to whatever that policy at maturity. You know, it may be a policy that's going to make 15 or 18%, or it may be one of those that makes 30%. And when you go into it, you know, approximately when you're going to get paid.
Do people like having that kind of control, or is that more like a secondary benefit of a life settlement?
No, I think they like it because they get to pick the policies. They get to pick how much money they're going to spend. It's going to affect their rate of return. And they get to decide how many policies they want. And, you know, and for retirement, I think it's a good thing. You know, you've got 6 or 20 policies, whatever it is, and you're going to roll those over even after retirement. So if you're 55, 60 years old, you know, your thinking is going to be different than when you were 30 and 40.
It's
when you're 30 and 40, you're probably just going to let it ride.
Yeah, yeah, because you got plenty of time if something happens.
You got a lot of time.
Yeah.
But if you're 55, 60 years old, you don't have that much time, and time is important, and time is money.
Exactly. You know, if something does happen, you don't necessarily have recovery time. And if you do plan on actually going through with retirement, you can't afford to be that far out on a limb and maybe lose everything because it literally could mean no retirement. Or if you do retire, maybe going back to work. You've seen these things happen before, right?
Right. And nobody wants to go back to work, let me tell you.
No.
All the people I talk to, once they retire, they want to have the good life. They want to play golf every day. They want to go out in their boat every day. Or the ones that buy the ranches, they want to go to the ranch every day and piddle around, you know, fix a few fences, do all kinds of things. Men want to stay busy. A lot of people retire, and they realize they don't want to be in the house all day. That's the first thing they realize.
Yeah.
they're going to have to get out and either play golf or go do something.
Yeah, people. Most
because
people don't.
Because men are not used to being in the house all day.
No, that's for
and
sure.
It's not good.
You can either, you know, I don't think a whole lot of people, you know, plan on retiring and then just laying down on the couch for the next 20 years. That's usually not
that's
the plan.
Right. No, it's not the plan. And the wife doesn't want you in there anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
She does not want a husband underfoot, let me tell you. That is not part of her plan at all.
You're pretty adamant about that.
Yes, I know. I mean, I talk to people, and that's what they tell me. You know, I do not need him underfoot all day.
Yes. Faye, do something to get him out of the house.
That's right. We got to have a little something for him to do.
Yeah. Okay, so when people are looking at this, and they say, you know, okay, hey, I'm tired of Wall Street, or even if, you know, so, you know, that's a good point. You know, I'm getting closer. I'm within, you know, 5 years, 4 years of retirement. We really need to go ahead and kind of, you know, get a little bit more conservative. Is that where a lot of people are? It's just like, you know, we're getting close. Let's see if we can scale things back, but still do a nice conservative investment that's going to that we know will pay off. That'll you know, protect the principal. Is that the approach that most people are?
I think that is the approach they're taking. If you're older, you're going to change the way you invest. It just comes naturally. You want to do something a little different where you can sleep better at night. And I think this helps a lot. I think you can say, you know, we know that we've got an insurance policy. We know approximately when it's going to expire, when they're going to pass away. And that's the kind of investment we want, where we can just roll it and not have to think about it on a day-to-day basis. In the stock market, you've got to be proactive every day of your life. You didn't make the investments, but you're stuck with what they have invested you in. So you're going to get up at midnight, and you're going to check the market every night to see if you've lost money, made money, or if it's all the same.
You have to be engaged even if you don't want to.
That's right. And right now, with all the stores going up and down and all around, what you have in your portfolio is pretty important.
One of the biggest fears I think that people have right now is if something does happen, if the market crashes and all that, people in Wall Street could literally lose everything overnight. Play out the worst case scenario with a life settlement. Say somebody's got a couple of policies, you know, they're investing in a few life insurance policies, they're going along. We're talking about maybe significant money here, maybe, you know, three policies at $100,000 each. So they're $300,000 in. Play it out, worst case scenario. What if the market does crash? What happens to those?
This doesn't have anything to do about market. This is not involved in the market. If the market crashes, that will not affect your investments. The only thing that's going to affect your investments is the health of the people we've invested in.
That has to sink in, at least I would think to a lot of people. If the market crashes, if something terrible happens on Wall Street, a life insurance policy is not affected in any way, shape, or form. The investment goes on, right?
That's right. Only thing that affects this is the health of the person we bought it from. You know, we only do stage 4 cancer, except there's 2 or 3 that only come to a stage 3. So it's either going to be a 3 or 4, and they have to have terminal illness. If they don't have terminal cancer, we're not buying the policy. We turn down policies every day that are not sick enough. If it's in remission, we're not going to do it. If it says that they can't find any of the cancer right now, we sure don't want to do it. Yeah. So it has to be an active cancer. It has to be one that is short term, you know, like up to 30 months. We're not going to buy one that's 5 years away or 7, because that tells me they're not sick. You know, they're as healthy as anybody else. A lot of the other companies do buy those. They will buy them and keep them. But I can't figure out how they're going to make it, because you're not going to be turning the money. In other words, for that customer, they're going to have to pay premiums, but they're not going to have maturities for 5 years.
So I
can't figure out how you're going to make a profit if you don't make anything for 5 years.
Yeah, that profit margin, I would imagine, gets smaller and smaller by the time you pay out the premiums. There's not a whole lot of return left, I would guess.
That's what I would think. And so ours is all geared toward a short term, turning your money, buying policies that the people have a short term life expectancy. And most of the time they're right, and sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes it's going to go over. But you're still going to get your principal, you still get your interest, and if it's in an IRA, it will not affect you because you couldn't have cashed it in anyway. They're saving for retirement. They're not, doing an in-and-out deal. You know, they're not doing a deal where you invest today and you take it out tomorrow. We don't do that.
It seems like there's a number of measures, in place that make a life settlement such an amazing opportunity for investors looking for better, more conservative options than Wall Street. And I think the first one, it sounds like anyway, that the first thing that that really ends up being kind of like it's the cornerstone of the whole investment is the type of policies that that you buy. You know, you were just saying a few minutes ago that it's only stage four cancer or three, if that's the limit. It's not the kind of policies where somebody is 65 or 70 and you see these commercials on TV. They want to travel around and do all the fun things that they do. And so we're going to sell our life insurance policy and live the life we've always wanted. Literally saw that commercial like yesterday. Those are not these. These are designed because we know the numbers for stage four cancer. We know that they, most of the cases, are pretty quick to mature, and so that's really the whole point is those fast turnarounds, those fast maturities, the fast payouts, and then quickly turn around, reinvest that in other policies. Is that a basic overview?
That's exactly right. And this week I was looking at a policy, and it was in the seventh rib, the third rib, the tenth rib. I mean, I saw it. Not only did they have, the liver cancer, but it was in all the ribs and in the lymph nodes. And when I see it's in all these lymph nodes, it's in all the vertebrae, and it's spread, it has metastasized to all these places, I'm interested immediately. I want to know how old the person is. I'm looking at that. I'm looking at what they say. And then I've got my own opinion that it is going to be fast, that they gave them 15 months. I said, it is really a 15-month policy. Sometimes I'll look at one and say, they're wrong. I don't believe it. I think it's going to be longer. But then sometimes I'll look and I'll say, it's not even going to be that long.
What?
And we go back on the experience we have of all the policies we've bought in the last few years, which ones matured faster and which ones lingered. And we've had several policies this year that matured that everybody said, it's going to be 2 years, and they passed away like in 6 months.
Oh, geez, that's fast.
It was. And then we have some that will go over, 10 months over. So the fastness or slowness of cancer cannot always be predicted, but they're going to pass away.
What are
some
of the...
So we know we'll get paid. We know we're going to get our money back. We know we're going to get our interest back.
And that's important because you don't get that with every type of investment. It just doesn't happen.
That's right.
So just because it says stage four cancer at the top of the report doesn't automatically mean, hey, I'm going to bid on this one. There are a number of things. What kinds of things aside from that? When you dig deeper into these policies, what are the factors that may make you say, hey, even though this is stage four, we're going to pass on it?
Well, it says, they've been to the hospital, but, that was in 17. 18, 19, they weren't in the hospital. They just can't hardly find it. Treatment seems to be working. Well, we're not interested. I'm interested in the one that when I go and read it, like the one yesterday, the man had, at first he weighed 185 pounds. He's down to 145.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. When you've lost that much weight, and he kept going back and telling him he was in pain. He was in tremendous pain in his back and his side. Well, the cancer is there. They've just got to find it. And I know one of them, he went 2 years before they finally decided, yes, there is cancer in about four places, which is ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah. The man had this tremendous back pain and side pain for 2 years. And they kept saying, well, it could be from this, it could be from that. And I said at the time, no, I believe it's from cancer. I believe that. Because when you're having this tremendous pain and nothing is helping, there's something there. You know, you've got to do a complete MRI and see what's in there.
I'm not a doctor, but I would imagine probably taking 2 years to find it. Probably just let
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And but then, you know, you've got it in a lot of places.
Yeah, that gives it a chance to really get aggressive.
It does get aggressive when it starts moving farther.
What other factors are you looking at? Not only treatment, but you also look at things that people are not doing for treatments as well, right?
That's right. Very seldom do you have men that are into this holistic deal, but some of them are. And I've read one this week where the man was into that and did all this other, and then they told him that it's not working. You know, you need to do regular, at this point you're going to have chemo, you're going to have radiation. Well, he can't hardly stand it. He's in such bad shape now that that's probably what's going to kill him.
Oh, boy.
You know, I mean, the man is in very bad shape. So we did bid on that. We don't know if we got it, but we did bid it because of his condition.
You know, it's kind of fascinating, all the different factors that you really, when you start getting into analyzing the actual investment itself, it's really kind of fascinating how not only have you taken, you know, life settlements and, you know, life insurance policies as a whole, but then you really started narrowing down, okay, we're only going to do stage four. And then once you get stage four, okay, we're going to dig even further. It's amazing how much depth you go into with every single policy before you even bid on it and before you sign off on it and say, hey, this would be a good policy to get people in. It's really kind of fascinating. Is it something that you have honed over time, or did you start out with this plan?
No, I think it's taken us a long time to get it just right. Because when we started out, we believed people that were selling us policies. We found out, you know, do not believe anything they say. You know, go to the biggest providers in the world. And that's what we did. We started using large providers, and we immediately quit doing those senior policies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we became successful, is doing policies and stopping like at age 76. You know, we had some come to us in their 80s this week. We said, no, get those away. We don't even want to talk about it. And they may be real sick and they may die on time, but we don't want to take the risk.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, if they come to us, we had a good policy come to us this week. The man was 75, but his premium was 20%. Of the face amount.
Really?
You cannot do it with it being 20% of the face amount. Doesn't matter how sick they are. You anything goes wrong at all, you would never make a dime.
Yeah, you're...
It cannot be over 3% or 4%.
Oh, Lord, so that wasn't even close.
No, it was not even close. And yet it was a good policy. The man was really sick, but we had to turn it down.
So you're not
because
only weighing...
you can't go over 3% or 4%.
You're looking at the medical aspect of it, but then you're also looking at, you're kind of weighing and massaging the financial aspect so that, you know, if there are premiums, it doesn't, you know, suck up all your profit if it does go over.
That's right. And that's why another reason we always escrow an extra 12 months of premium when we buy the policy.
Jeez. Wow.
That extra 12 months gives you that cushion on every policy.
It's like the hits just keep coming. It's just like there's so many advantages,
right.
The way you've got this set up and how you go about doing it. I guess this is why you have been so successful with this and made so much money for investors for so long. you really pay attention to the numbers. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it also sounds like in our past conversations that not only are you looking at these things on the front end, but you're also going back to make sure that the data and the practices that you practice are still effective, you know, because medicine changes, you know, the whole process changes about how to fight stage four cancer. You're still looking at the numbers to make sure, are we still on the right trajectory? And I guess you are, right, from what you've seen.
I think we are. You know, we've listened to all these people said that this year, you know, we were going to have a lot more people pass away. We have had more, but not as many as I thought because of the virus. We're still having people that are hesitating to sign their contracts with us. They don't want to leave the house. So we've still got a lot of that going on. They don't want to come out and do it. They want to sell the policy, but yet when we say you've got to come to an agent's office to sign, they don't want to do it mm-hmm. because they're afraid they're going to get the virus.
So then what happens?
And they've already got cancer, so you know they're trying not to speed it along.
Yeah, that's true. In that case, do you bypass it and move on to another one? What happens?
Well, lots of times, everybody will offer to FedEx the papers to them.
Oh, okay.
And let them sign them in their home.
Gotcha. So there is a workaround.
Lots of times they have to have a notary. So they're going to have a notary come to the house.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So, you know, it's hard times for a lot of those people, you know, getting the papers done and getting them back to us.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll get into some of the challenges, if there are any, in a few minutes. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Again, your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
I can't believe it, but time is flying this morning. It's already time for trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Fickles pickles.
What? Fickles, pickles.
I knew that would do it.
See, it's
fickles, pickles.
It sounds fun. Everybody loves things that rhyme. You've already got us hooked.
Okay, Barney, Texas. The pickle company I never knew, I'm going to tell you. This lady, Mrs. Pickle, started this. Her name was Bernie Shaw, and she had a little antique shop. And people would come there from around the hill country, and they'd buy all these antiques. Well, she's always fixing up some pickles. And several years ago, she said, you know, I might just put some of my pickles up here on the shelf. And she did it. Word spread. She starts shipping these to everybody that just couldn't get enough of those pickles. And she has been on Good Morning America. She's been in Texas Monthly. She's even been on the Martha Stewart Show.
Really?
Yes. And they do everything by hand. It's an amazing story. George Bush, when he was running for president, was supposed to go by and get his pickles. He was late. She chastised him for being late. Can you imagine?
Oh, wow. That is a fearless lady.
She is fearless, and she was referred to as the Pickle Lady, and she made this one family recipe. They still use it. It's still successful. You know, it's just amazing what all they have done with this one jar of pickles. Now, she makes one that's just the regular one. Then she makes a really spicy one. But they say they think the extra spicy one takes over from the pickles. I don't think it's as good. And you cannot order online. This is the part I love. They have a little green telephone that they bought years and years ago. You have to call and place your order. They do not do online sales.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. They have shipped them as far as Alaska, Finland, and Japan.
Wow, really?
They have shipped them all over the world. But you have to call to get them to ship them.
Jeez, that's dedication.
Yeah, and a lot of the regulars have never even been there. They just call and order a case of them and have them sent out.
Wow.
And, of course, they still have the vintage Coca-Cola signs, the dolls, the hand-forged tools. But everybody knows that the pickles is what is the big deal around there. They started this in 1987. And the first one she gave away just to get people interested. And, of course, it didn't take long. You know, people just kept coming back because they were so great. And her daughter was in her 20s when her mother started making these pickles. And Lisa, the girl, said, I thought they were fantastic. And she said, once they taste them, it's done. She said, I love to watch their faces. And they think it's just dill pickles. And when they taste them, they know it's not. And they said, Pierce Brosnan has them sent to him. Cheryl Teague's the model. All these people do. And it's just hard to believe. It's so addictive, the quality of the pickles. That's what's kept them in business all these years. And, of course, they said they've added marinade, but it's still the pickles that keeps people coming back. And they said, yes, we have the nicest customers in the world, but we want to talk to them. They don't want to do online where it's, you know, where you don't talk to people.
Wow. It almost...
It's the only place in the world you can get their pickles. They don't sell them anywhere else.
Sounds like from not only the way that they do business, but all the tools and all the stuff they have around, it sounds like it's almost like a like walking into a time warp of a better time.
I think it is, because it's still old-fashioned. They still make them by hand. They make 40 gallons a week.
Ooh, wow.
They said years ago they were making 25 gallons of pickles a week. And now they have to make 40 gallons a week just to keep up.
All of it by hand?
All by hand.
Wow.
And they answer that little green phone. And, you know, it's amazing to me.
Wow.
And this one guy had been getting the regular ones, and somebody told him that if he was just buying the regular ones, he was just a wuss, you know. So he went to him and asked him. He said, are the regular ones referred to as bland? And she said, the regular ones sell three jars to one of the extra spicy.
Oh.
Said, you don't get the full bouquet of it unless you have the regular ones. So he was worried that he was just... wasn't doing the right thing. He was going to get those really spicy ones. They said, no, the others are a lot better.
He was missing out on something. He was afraid.
Yeah, and everybody is devoted to this company. They come in 8-ounce jars just for regular holiday greeting. They have a 20-ounce jar. It's perfect restitution for the gravest slight you might have made to somebody.
Mm.
And the 16 jar is for the run-of-the-mill faux-pas.
Wow.
And he said, it's quite a drive for most of my kinfolk. He said, the statement made with the gift is compounded by the size of the jar of pickles.
Oh, boy. Wow.
And he said, my family members are not the only one to find the pickles extraordinary. He said, I haven't conducted any scientific research, but the pickles are the best. My friends and readers have substantiated my claim in impressive numbers.
Well, with that, you don't need any scientific research.
Yeah. And he said when they heard that Billy Shaw was going to retire, he said the repercussions vibrated all the way to my office. And my coworkers and I rushed to order what we thought might be possibly the last taste of fickle pickles.
Oh.
And he said... I was instantly, you know, on the hunt. And then they found out her daughter was going to take over, and she's now passed away.
Oh, sorry about that.
So it isn't for wimps. The regular pickles are the best.
It isn't for wimps.
Yeah.
Oh, my. It sounds like it's one of those things that the name draws you in because it's so odd and it rhymes. And it sounds cool. It gets your interest. But then once you're in, it sounds like the pickles are so amazing that's what hooks you.
Yes, and everybody just keeps ordering them. You know, they're so good, you keep going back. It's not one of those, like, lots of times you'll try a brand once and that's it.
Yeah.
You know? But it's all handmade, hand-packed, you know. And it's just an amazing story that this lady, Miss Shaw, started this pickle company right there in her kitchen. They still make it by hand. They still slice every cucumber by hand.
Wow, I can't even imagine, especially with that kind of volume, I can't even imagine that they hadn't said, hey, we could do so much more and crank out so many more orders if we would just, you know, automate some of the process. They're sticking true with what works, with what got them to where they are, and they haven't forgotten that. That's pretty stand-up. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and, you know, they're in the hill country, you know, a little small town, and yet they're doing this tremendous business. Can you imagine?
That's amazing.
Everybody just calls them and orders a case of this or, you know, five of this or whatever, and they're always afraid they're going to run out. So these pickles must be really good.
Evidently, and they're shipping them around the world.
Yeah, Japan, Alaska, and Finland.
Hmm.
People that have come to Texas, heard about them, and bought them, and they have continued to order them because they're so great.
I haven't ever, I don't even know if I've even heard of, because you don't see them on the shelf, right? You don't go to the store and see them.
Oh, no, they're not going to put them anywhere except right there in their little shop.
Well, how do people know about
them? You can order them.
Is it just word of mouth?
I don't know how they became famous, but they became famous.
It must be because of people like you telling people and saying, hey, you've got to try these pickles. They're amazing. Word of mouth spreads.
That's right. Pickles are amazing. I've got all these people that are telling me how great they are and that we need some.
Yeah, I assume you haven't had any yet, but it's on your list.
I haven't had them yet, but I'm going to get some.
See, now I'm curious. Now I want to know how to get some. I mean, I know you call, but man,
you have to call to Pickles down there, either Bernie or the other place where they have them.
Wow, how cool!
And they'll answer the phone, and they'll send you your order.
Well, it's pretty nice just knowing that that somebody like an actual human person will answer a phone at a business is pretty impressive these days.
And like I said, they want to talk to the people. They don't want to do something online where they don't even know who they're talking to. That's what they said.
Wow.
And it's just her and her husband that do all this.
Just the two of them?
The two of them.
That's amazing.
I don't know how they do 40 gallons a week.
I don't know how they do that either. They must not ever sleep or something.
Uh-huh. Well, you'd think they must be trying to get ahead every once in a while. You know, I would be trying to get ahead, you know, get some made up early.
Yeah. I wonder if they ever take
vacation. Especially with the holidays coming, they said people really start asking for them to be shipped.
Oh, yeah. I would imagine probably orders go through the roof now.
Yeah, and they've got the three sizes, you know. They've got the regular size, the 16 ounces, and the 20 ounces. So that's a lot of pickles.
Yeah, it is. Wow, that's amazing. I've never even heard of pickles before.
I know, and here they are, famous, and you didn't even know about them.
I know. See, I need to get out of the house more. I need to talk to people.
You need to get out a little bit more. They said they're devoted to producing a high-quality product.
And they haven't changed a thing since they started.
They have not changed anything.
Wow. That's amazing.
And when everybody goes to the hill country, they stop in there and get their pickles ordered.
So then you probably ought to get your order in early for the holidays, because I would imagine
things get
backed up a little bit.
I would think so. So, and I would get the bigger jars.
So they last longer.
That's right. You don't want to run out.
I feel like you're hinting for Christmas is what I think. Noted.
Yep, right. You don't want them to run out.
Pickles, definitely on the list of things to try. That's awesome.
I think it's an awesome story. They're awesome people.
Yeah, it sounds like it. That's really, really cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
Now I've got pickles on the brain. Am I having trouble?
Yeah, you're going to want pickles next.
I am, because you know how I am about food. So.
I know. I mean, you've never found anything you did not like, really?
I really have not. I don't think so, no.
No, I didn't think so.
Fickles, pickles. All right, let's talk about some of the challenges with the investment with life insurance policies. So, what kinds of things are you facing? What is there any kind of any kind of factors that you know maybe have changed this year that you're up against? Anything at all that might?
Well, I think that there's a shortage of policies this year. Yes. Because of everything that's going on, there is a shortage. And we're having to bid harder against people because they aren't getting any either. So everybody is, the bidding on policies right now is furious. Everybody's bidding these policies. We're having to really work a lot harder to get policies. But we've got bids out right now on like 20 policies.
Jeez.
And I know that we're going to get some of these this next week. I don't know how many. I'm hoping for 7 to 8 out of 20.
So as we look forward to the next couple of weeks, is it fair to say that hopefully if some of these come through and you're awarded with these policies, you're going to have quite a bit of availability coming up in the future?
Yes, I think we will. We've closed some little ones, but we've got some big ones out. We've got $1.5 million one out, $2 million, and then a lot of $250,000, $300,000. So I think that we'll be awarded some of these. I don't know how many. But bidding is furious. We're up against a lot of competition right now because nobody's had any policies for like 45 days, you know.
Really?
So everybody's in the same spot that we're in, you know, trying to get the best policies right now and to get these people to sign with us.
Is it like an abnormal fluke that's the scene right now, or does this happen?
Well, we've
sometimes?
Had it happen before. It's been a long time because usually we have policies all the time. But it's, I think, because of the pandemic, there hasn't been as many policies coming, and now all of a sudden we've got them coming, but the bidding is furious, and everybody wants them. Our competitors want them, we want them, and so we don't know exactly how that'll come out.
For a new investor who has never done this, wants to get started, is really interested, while you're waiting for these policies to be awarded, is this a good time for people to come in and, you know, start talking and saying, hey, let's lay the groundwork so when these are ready, we're ready to go? Is this a good time for that?
That's right, because the first thing is everybody says, how long will it take? Well, usually from the time you sign up, we're talking 2 to 3 weeks. So you have to have your money in place in order to invest. If you don't, you have to go and write a check, you know, that day. And most people want to have money in their account where they can invest at all times. Most of our clients keep money in their accounts at all times for investing. If they run low, we'll call them and they'll put more money in. If there's a policy we're fixing to award and they want to get in, we'll tell them you need to get some money in your account.
What are the risks? Because I know that we've talked about how wonderful the investment is. Not only is it really solid as far as payout goes, is the process is really quick as far as payout goes. Turnaround is really quick. Reinvesting is really quick. The types of policies, we know that they have, you know, those fast turnarounds with stage 4 cancer and things like that. All these wonderful things. But there are 3 major risks that people need to know about. And as you hear these, you've got to be thinking to yourself, man, you know, I'm going to be accredited to do this, so these risks, once you start naming them, don't actually seem all that huge. Is that, am I looking at it the right way?
I think so. Well, the first thing we should say is you must be accredited. In order to be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. So that's the first thing. You must be accredited to do this. The government says if you're not accredited, you cannot do this investment. So, you know, it wasn't my idea. It's the government's idea. Okay.
All right.
Then the biggest risk is it could go over. We have about 10% that's over right now. And maybe not quite 10% because we just had 2 old policies mature. So it might be just 9% now. But we have about 9% that have gone over. But very few do go over. Most of the time, your risk is not that big because they don't usually go over. But like if you had 5 policies, there might be 2 of them that's going to go over. But if you're in an IRA, it's not going to affect you because you know that you're not going to cash out anytime soon. So the nice thing about it is, even though it could go over, you know that it will mature, that you will get paid, that your principal's safe, But you need to know it could go over and it would affect you, and you would have to pay premiums if it goes over.
And we're talking about stage four cancer, so I would imagine even if it does go over, we're probably not looking at 20 years. It's not like that.
Oh, no, no, you would not make any money. We're talking about 2 or 3 years usually. Oh. It could go over. We've had some, we did a survey. The average that have went over has been 10 months if you take an average.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not bad at all.
And some of them, you know, went 2 to 3 years over, and then all of a sudden they passed away.
Okay, so relatively speaking, it's really, it doesn't sound like it's that big of a deal.
No, I don't think it is, because most of them do not go over. If they do, it's usually a short time, and then when we least expect it, they do mature, which is a good thing. The second risk is it's not in cash during that time. Most people realize that. When you invest, you put up your money. So it's not in, liquid until it matures. When it matures, it is liquid again, and you can spend it, or if you need it, you can take some of that money out. Most people don't. They just leave it in there for their retirement in cash. The third one is if a life insurance company ever went under. And we've talked about this before. We haven't had a life insurance company in Texas go under, and nationally we haven't had one going for in years because the premium income is so huge, you know, they're protected by that.
Yeah. All right. So relatively speaking, it sounds like the payoff is much greater than the risk, and it sounds like the past historical data shows, it backs that up, or else you wouldn't be
doing this. Yes, I think so. Because remember, if you're in the stock market, you don't have a guarantee on your principal. You don't have a guarantee on your interest. And in this, you know you're going to get your principal and your interest. It's all part of your contract. So that makes it a lot better when you know, that you are going to get these things.
So real quick, look at the big picture. How does this whole thing, when we zoom out, look at the big picture, how does this work for wealth growth, getting prepared for retirement? Do people get into one or three, or how long does this take? When can people get started to get where they need to be?
Well, they can start, as I said, immediately. They can get their, they can sign up, get an account going. An account is always at the bank. We don't touch your money from the time you put it up. The account is always at the bank. It's not with us, and people need to know that. It's not like with a brokerage account where they can go in and change everything, invest your money, do whatever they want to do. We can't do that. We have to have your permission every time we make an investment for you. The bank sees to it that the premiums are paid for you. Again, when the person passes away, the bank sends in the certified death certificate. They get the check from the insurance company, and then they put all the money in your account. So you always know the bank is in charge of handing you back your money, which is another safety feature.
It's quick, it's fast, it's planned out, it's secure. Is there a too late point to start? So say Mr. Procrastinator.
Yes, if you're 80 years old, it's too late to start.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
But 55, 60, you should be fine, right?
Yeah, 70. I mean, you're 74, you're doing fine.
Wow.
Okay.
All right, cool. For appointments, you've got availability coming up. You're still doing meetings on Zoom?
Yes, if anybody wants to talk to us this week, if they want to open an account, we're available. We'll just make an appointment.
Awesome. All right, Faye. So one last time, what is your phone number for people to start?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.